Let's open our Bibles this morning in the book of Exodus, the second chapter. Book of Exodus, chapter 2. And we read some verses from this passage of God's Word. Exodus, chapter 2. Commencing to read at verse number 1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." It came to pass in those days when Moses was growing, that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. Amen. And we know that God himself will bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. A couple of Sunday mornings ago, we were looking here at the commencement of the story, and we were thinking how that God prepares his child for service. And even in the midst of a situation where it seemed to be that everything was black, everything was dark, there was absolutely no hope, the children of Israel were in bondage, they weren't going to get out of it, yet in the midst of it all, God steps in. And God raises, in the midst of that situation, and God presents a little child. And there in the midst of that situation, when the enemy is at its strongest, God demonstrates his mighty power in a very simple way. In a very simple way. And God laughs at the efforts of man. And all the power that man has, and through a little child. We don't know his mom and dad's name until you come from chapter 2. You can move on to chapter 6, and that's where you find exactly who they are. And so here's another child in many ways, a child in obscurity, unknown by man. And yet God raises up a little child, and little did Israel know that the hopes and the dreams of that nation was found in that child. A mighty deliverer was born, and God raised up this child. Now we looked at the presentation of the child. In those verse number 1, it says, "There went a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and she conceived, and she bare a son." And there we see the presentation. But notice, secondly, the preparation, because it says in verse 2, "And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." You know, whenever this child was born, it says, "And when she saw him," This ought to have been the moment of greatest joy. Whenever a mother takes a look at her little child for the first time, and here I'm sure, just like every other mother, how the Jochebed would examine that little child, and she would look at the little fingers, she'd look at the little toes, she'd look that the child was wonderfully made, because the Bible says she saw that he was a goodly child. He was good to look at. He was a beautiful child. The book of Hebrews says she saw that he was a proper child. You say, well, surely every child is proper. Listen, my friend, here was a child that was not only goodly to look upon, here was a child that was healthy. All the features, all the faculties. And God has blessed this mother, and God has blessed this dad, and God has given them a child. Surely this happens. This must be the happiest moment of their lives, friend. And yet, in the midst of all that happiness, there's apprehension. In the midst of all that happiness, the most happy moment, there's something that's in the back of Jochebed and Amnon's mind that they can't get away from, and it's this fact. That as they look upon this child and they see that it's a male child, they remember the command of the king. And the command of the king is that every male child is to be cast into the water. In other words, every male child is to be killed. And I don't know whether this mother, whenever she was carrying that child, was praying, saying, oh God, give me a little girl. I want a little girl because if I bring forth a little boy, my little boy is going to be killed. Maybe that's what she asked God for, I don't know. But God didn't give her a little girl. God gave her a little son. And over the head of this child, friend, in that greatest moment of joy that a mom and dad could ever have, over the head of that child and over that home, there was a shadow. It was a shadow of death. Because the king had made the declaration. He had made the decree. In verse 22. Of chapter 1, and Pharaoh charged all his people. Yes, first of all, he charged the midwives. But the midwives feared God rather than the king. And when he knew he couldn't get his way with the midwives, it says, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And so, we see there's a shadow over this home in the midst of great joy. And she looks upon her son, and I can see Mom looking there, and she holds it close to her breast. And I can see Dad and Mom sitting there, and they gaze upon their child. Listen, he's lovely to look at. He's a goodly child. And he's got all his features, and got all his faculties, and he's healthy. He's a proper child. And as they look upon that child, friend, they love him with all their hearts. And yet there's a shadow. You know what the shadow is? This. That the king's out to destroy him. Let me tell you, friend, there's something about that in this generation in which we live. Well, let me tell you, the devil is out to destroy your child. Every mother that's in this service this morning, every father that's in this meeting, I want you to remember this. The world's out to destroy your child. The powers of hell, just like Pharaoh on that day, will do everything that they possibly can do to destroy your child and to damn your child. That's why parents ought to take parenthood very seriously. Friend, it's not a joke to bring a child into the world. We live in an awful age when the world will do everything to put its evil claws into your child. And remember this, the nature of your child is a sinful nature. And it will be easy for your child to go to the world, and it will be easy for your child to stay in the world.
And the world will be out there, and the world will have one desire, and one design, and it's this, to damn and to destroy your child.
There was a shadow over this home. And humanly speaking, friend, humanly speaking, there's a shadow over every child, and it's this, that as far as the world and the devil and the flesh is concerned, though your child be a goodly child, and you love him, and you love her, the world will seek to destroy. Whenever the book of the Acts of the Apostles was written, and this story is recorded there in the 7th chapter, it tells us that he was exceeding fair. And I believe, friend, that that means more than just simply he was beautiful. And to be honest, whenever a child sometimes is born, and mom looks at their child, and yes, your child is very special, but when you see all the wee wrinkles, and you see, sometimes, mind you, they're not powerful good to look at for the first minute. Until the Lord sort of sorts them out, and then they get good looking. But whenever mom looked at that child, friend, listen, this child was exceedingly fair. And I believe that's more than an outward beauty. I believe this child was marked out by God. I believe it was not only fair and beautiful to man, but this child was fair to God. And I believe that this mom and dad knew there was something special here. That somehow, when she looked upon her son for the first moment, she believed that there was something special. There was a touch of God upon her child. Oh, that's what we surely desire for our children, friend, that God's touch will be upon them. That God's hand will be graciously and lovingly and wonderfully upon them. And you notice what she did? Look at verse number 2. She saw that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. She hid him 3 months. You see, she knew what the world wanted to do with her child. And when it says here she hid him 3 months, you know what she wanted to do, friend? She wanted to shelter her child from the hurt of the world. Now I know that young people, and there's many young people in this service this morning, and let me tell you, maybe you get annoyed sometimes that Mother Hen seems to fluster over you and she flaps her wings and you wish, would you settle down, Mum? Or Dad, he gets all flustered too, and you would you settle down? What are you fussing about? Let me explain it to you. Young people, let me tell you, when you grow up, I want to tell you, you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you don't understand now, listen. Any loving parent, any parent that is a parent, ought to want to shelter their children from the hurt of the world. And if there's a mother or a father here today and you don't care what the world does to your children, then let me tell you, you're not a worthy parent. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Because I'll tell you this, here was a mother, and here was a father, and I want to tell you, when they looked upon their child, they loved them so much, and they wanted to hide them, they wanted to shelter them, what from? The hurt of the world. See, other people out there don't care about you. You make them think that. Young people, let me tell you, you see, whenever you bite the dust and you lie in your face in the gutter, let me tell you, the world will walk on past. They'll not care. To be honest, they may clap you on the back whenever it suits them. But whenever you're lying in the gutter, friends, let me tell you, they'll not weep over you. But there's somebody with a broken heart. Because they love you. And they don't want the world to hurt you. And here's a mom and dad, and that's exactly what they did, friend. They hid him
They hid him as long as they could. They hid him 3 months. And every day they were fearing some of the Egyptians walking past, and wherever they were residing, they would hear maybe the cry of a child, and their ears would go up and they'd wonder what it was all about. And they'd report that there was a hidden child. And then the world would come and kill him. But you know, the time will come, just as it happens here. Listen, they hid him 3 months. Why didn't they hide him all the time? Friend, listen, you can't hide them all the time. Parents, you know what I'm talking about.
Mom and Dad, you know what I'm talking about. You would love to hide them. You'd love to hide them and shelter them from the hurt of the world. Oh, you'd love to keep that the world would never get their hands upon them, that the influence of the world would never touch them, that the sins of the world would never, my, be ingrained in them. You'd love to hide them forever, wouldn't you?
You think this mom and dad wouldn't want to hide Moses until he was fully grown, that they couldn't touch him? No, friend. They would want to do it. But there comes a time you can't hide them anymore. And here we find a mom and dad with all the love in their hearts, and they could no longer hide their child. Now what do they do? What do they do, friend? They walk the walk of faith. They walk the walk of faith. That's a lovely story, you know. Because here we see a mom and dad walking the walk of faith for their children. There are parents in here, let me tell you. You see while your children are around your feet. You see while they're around your feet, then listen. And sometimes you get annoyed around the feet. Listen, those are the greatest days. Love every moment of those days. You see, when they're just like wee chicks around your feet. Love every moment of it, friend. Because it'll not be long till they begin to fly. It'll not be long that they no longer want you to shelter them or to pamper them, unless it suits them. Fly away. You say, what do I do then, preacher? Listen, you walk the walk of faith. You put them into God's hands. You leave them in God's hands. Listen, you do what your responsibility. Here's a mother, and she does what she can. She has responsibility. She does what she can. Notice what the Word of God says, verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him. Notice, I didn't say it. God said it. She could no longer hide him. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. And she daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. Now let me tell you, friends, listen. Here is a godly woman, because listen, she knows the story of the book. This mother, when she could do nothing more, as far as hiding him, and she had to let him out there into the world, and she could no longer keep him hidden away from everyone else, then she did what she could, and she remembered the story of the ark. You see, here was a woman that was grounded in the Word of God. And whenever the rain was coming, and my God said, build an ark, Moses. And Moses, I want you to build it to the saving of your house. And that's exactly what the smallers do. She builds a wee ark. She builds an ark of bulrushes for the saving of her child. And let me tell you, she does much of what Moses did. In a very simplistic way. Or rather, she did much of what Noah did in a very simplistic way. Because let me tell you, she prepared this ark. And the Bible says she took an ark of bulrushes and she daubed it with slime and with pitch. What was the ark daubed with then? With a pitch. And what was the pitch? It's the same word as tar. Tar.
In other words, here was a mother, and she takes the ark of bulrushes, and what does she do? She uses every skill she has. She thinks it out carefully. She prays to God, "Oh God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to save my son. Help me to be a wise mother.
As she prays, and I believe she prays, "Oh God, give me guidance." I believe God reminded her of the ark when the day of the flood came. And she realized that her child was destined for the river. What could you do for him? Let me ask you, Mom and Dad, are you building an ark for your children? Is your place, is your home an ark for God? Are you seeking to see your family saved? Are you seeking to see them won for Jesus Christ? We live in a sad age when even parents who are born again, professing believers, and in their homes they are not building the ark of refuge for their children. They're letting the world get them at the earliest possible age instead of building an ark and asking God to give you wisdom and give you understanding. And she takes that little basket and she weaves the stalks of papyrus into it. And then very carefully she pitches it. Yes, she slimes and puts the slime upon it and then she puts the pitch upon it. Listen. And she can't put the pitch upon it without getting her hands dirty. But no matter what it takes, no matter the cost, no matter how hard the labor, she has one thought in her mind. It is a saving. Mother, Father, in this service, let me ask you this morning a straightforward question. Are you more concerned about the salvation of your child or are you more concerned about the education of your child? And if it's the latter, I'll tell you this without apology. You've got the wrong end of the stick. The salvation of the soul of your child is more important than anything else. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, even if he got everything else, and he lost his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the mother was concerned, and she waterproofed that little ark. She did what she could. And then I see that mother taking her child. Deep behind her heart, in her mind and in her heart was that moment when she'd have to lift the wee child up. And she'd lay it down. And put that little in the ark. And she'll take a journey. And she knows every step she's going to take. She's going to have to walk away from that wee ark. A moment. And she would walk the walk of faith. Now I believe that God requires you and me to be wise as parents. I believe that God gives us a responsibility. When God places a child in your hand, mother, let me tell you, young people, and you, God gives you a family. Let me tell you, friend. God gives you a family. and that's a heritage of the Lord. That's God's heritage to you. And God tells you, and God commits that child in your hand. Listen, in God's name, take it seriously.
Take it as solemn responsibility you're taking upon your shoulders. And listen, you've got to do and use wisely your time and your talents.
Everything you've got to use it wisely for the betterment of your child. She sought to do what you could. There's the presentation. But notice something quickly. Notice the placement. Go to verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him, or took for him, an ark of bulrushes. And she daubed it with slime and with pitch, and she put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. Here's the placement now. We've got the presentation, we've got the preparation. Here's the placement. She takes her child, can you see, putting the child into the little basket? And before she does it, she gives that child a kiss, and she doesn't want to let the child go. But she realizes she's got to do it. She's got to place him out of her arms into God's arms.
No better place to put your child, friend, than into the arms and the hands of God. And just commit them. Say, I can't do it, preacher. Gently honest, you've got to do it. You have to do it. There's nothing else you can do.
You say, does this woman, is she afraid?
Let me tell you, friend, the Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews that she feared not for the king's command. In other words, she surrendered her fear by faith to God. She handed her child over to God. She feared not. How did a mother do that? Faith. That's the only way. Faith. Faith in God's power.
And here this mother, she overcomes her fear. And it says this, she put the child therein and she laid it in the flags. By the river's brink, you say, that's totally insignificant. No, it's not.
Mother had prayed over that circumstance too. Where could I put the child? Where could I put that child to be safe from the river? Where could I place the child to be safe from the currents? Let me tell you, the mother chose the place. And the word of God, she says, she laid them in the flags. What does that mean? It means, friend, the flags were the smaller species of papyrus. That's what she put, made the ark with, the papyrus. But there was smaller, there's a smaller species. And there was the flags there. And she takes that there, that little ark. And she stops at a spot because she sees, I'll put the ark in there. You know why, friend? Whenever she put it in that spot, whenever the current would come down, little ark wouldn't float away. It was the safest place she could put him. She chose the safest place there that would keep the little ark stationary, so that the current wouldn't come and take the little child away and overturn the ark. In other words, she used her common sense. She used the wit that God gave her. We have responsibilities, friend, before God. You know, she wanted her child to be a place in stability. And I'm saying this to parents, let me tell you this. Some parents think that they can seal their children here, there, and yonder, and as long as they're going to a place or some place of worship, it doesn't really matter. Let me tell you, friend, I'm going to say something very straight to you. There's something your child needs, and that's stability.
stability. And you can sail them all around the countryside, but I'll tell you this. If you don't under God seek the place where God wants them and nail their colour to the masthead there and put them down amongst the flags, I'll tell you, you will have a responsibility of being the means of allowing any current to come. Sail them away. You will. You may say, I'm doing it for their good now. Let me tell you, friend, be honest before God. There is nothing in the Word of God by chance. Your child needs stability. Your child needs to be brought up in a fellowship and encouraged in the fellowship among the people of God, where God wants them to be, where God has placed them to be. But they need stability. There's the placement. The mother could have put that child anywhere. But she didn't. Why? Because she didn't want the current of the Nile when it swelled its banks to sail her child away. She wanted to place him in a place of safety. But then there's something else. I don't realize time's away in this. I'll finish this morning. Go to verse number 4 and 5. It says this. And his sister stood afar off and to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And when she had compassion on him, said, this is one of the Hebrew children.
Listen, God gives us a responsibility, yes, and we must use that responsibility wisely for the salvation of our children and for the edification and building up of our children. But here's a most important thing. Here's the providence. Here's the providence. God's providential care of Moses.
It came to the moment, let me tell you this, that all the mother could do was do what she could. And she placed her son there, and he lived there, the little ark and the flags. And then mother had to walk away. She didn't forget her child, but she had to walk away.
And she left the sister there to stand afar off to see what would be done to him. How God would work it out. How God would work it out.
What I see here is this. Providence taking control. Pharaoh had announced all the sons of the Israelites to be killed. But God was working here on Moses' behalf. I see God's providence.
Listen,
in many ways. I see God's providence that after that Moses was left there, that Pharaoh's daughter came down to the water's edge that day. I see providence that as she came down and as her maidens walked down by the river's side, that she looked in one direction. She saw, listen, the little ark was hidden there. Remember, papyrus was, the little ark was made of that papyrus. And the little ark was placed in, so it would be hard to see. But she looked at the right place. She looked at the right spot. And when she saw it, she had a curiosity. And she says, fetch it. And in the providence of God, friend, listen, they took the lid of that little ark. And the moment the ark's lid was taken off, listen, the child wept. The
didn't weep just by chance then. This was all in God's providence. Even the cry of the child, it was in the providence of God. Do you know why? Because the cry of the child touched her heart. It says this, and she had compassion on him. Why? Because the babe wept. We have a sovereign God. And I believe that that's what Jochebed did, friend. She left her child in the sovereign hands of a sovereign God, for she knew that she had done what she could. She fulfilled her responsibility. And then what does she do? She says, I can go no further. I can't hide my child anymore. But what I will do is this. I will lay my child in the ark, and I will pray for my child that God will undertake. And she just sent her daughter to watch to see what would happen, for she knew that God would undertake. She was waiting for God, for what God was going to do next. Let me tell you, she had nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to go. Praise God, she took her child and she left him in the providential care of God. And the moment that wee child cried, it says that Pharaoh's daughter had compassion. Yes, she knew it was a Hebrew's child. Yes, she knew what her father had said. Yes, she knew he was destined to die. But God was working it out for good. And you know, the plan of the king boomeranged through the cry of a child. Mom and Dad, I realize time's gone this morning. Why not leave them in God's hand today? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If we trust and do not doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. By faith, she feared not the king's command. She put him in a little ark. Praise God, she knew she heard the word of God. And she did her part. But left it all with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning and we thank Thee for how You guided this dear mother many, many years ago. She hadn't all the revealed truth that we have today. She hadn't the knowledge that we had, but thank God she heard about the ark. And O God, we thank Thee that we can pray for our children and in God's name. Seek to, by faith, leave them in Thy hands, that You'll bring them into the ark, that You'll save them. Save them not only from a life of sin, but save them from an eternity of hell. I pray this morning that You'll save all my loved ones. I pray for every father and mother, every grandparent in this gathering, every loved one, and the burdens in their hearts for their loved ones today. Please, God, save them. Save our loved ones. And close them in with Christ, for Jesus' sake.